Who knows what those who follow us will do with what we have provided? Who knows whether the institution that was founded upon the Word of God, strong in the faith, fundamental in doctrine, won't stray when somebody else follows and takes over in that institution? Who knows whether a church which was founded upon the Word of God was firm and determined to do what was right, won't slip away and turn the other direction in just a few short years after perhaps the leadership has changed? Solomon thought of the same thing, and he said, This is so vain. It's vanity. He said, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. Somebody's going to follow me. And who knows what that person's going to do with it? And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. Boy, how futile it is to work so hard and leave it to somebody who does not appreciate what kind of work has been put into something. Many of us remember sitting in those cold, hard steel chairs in the elementary school right up the road here for a number of years. If you endured some of that, would you please stand? If you were here during those times, I just want to see. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay. It's hard for others to appreciate what we endured. As we were going through it, we didn't really look at it as endurance, did we? I mean, today, when you sit in these chairs, and you know what, it's kind of comfortable in here, but do you remember the flies that would buzz around? And the solo that Joel Dubois was singing when the fly flew into his mouth? Do you remember the heat in the summertime, because there was no air conditioning, we could not get it cool in there? Remember how sometimes in the winter it would be awfully cold in there? Very minor things, and yet there are those who can't appreciate what we went through. And you walk in today, and this is the way it's always been, see? That's what you think. This is it. And there are so many things that we do, and we don't appreciate what it took to get to the place where we are today. God warned the children of Israel about this very thing. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, a time for remembrance. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. By the way, what I was reading before is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, if you would like to go back and look at that sometime. One of my most moving experiences when I was backpacking through Europe back in 1985, it was a great time. I enjoyed being with two other guys, had a backpack, had what they call a Eurorail pass, and for 3 weeks just went all over Europe wherever I wanted to go. And but one of the most moving experiences I had in Europe was visiting the military cemeteries in Luxembourg, where the Battle of the Bulge took place. There George Patton is buried. I believe there's around 5,000 men buried there in Luxembourg. I was alone that day because my two buddies, they wanted to go to Paris and see all the fine art stuff. And I said, no, I'm going to go see the military cemeteries. So we were up in Belgium when we split the night before, and I took off and went to Luxembourg. And I'll never forget when I first walked into that cemetery. As I understand it, it's American-type property today. And it is so well maintained. How many of you have ever been to a military cemetery across the sea? Yeah. So well maintained. It just made you proud to be an American. I mean, the grass just right. Everything just beautiful. And I remember walking in there. And I suppose I was 27 or 28 at the time. And I began to weep. I couldn't help it. It was overwhelming to see that cemetery. And then sometime later, I went to the beaches of Normandy. And there I had about 30 minutes. I was on a bicycle. I had to catch a train. And but going to Normandy and looking over the beaches where the men had on D-Day, which the anniversary is just coming up here in the next week or so, and just seeing the nearly 10,000 crosses there of the men who gave their lives. Overwhelming. But when you see that, then your thought goes to today, and you know what? What are we doing today to show our appreciation? It's not just the fact of remembering. What are we doing with what they gave us? What are we doing with the freedoms they gave us? Memorials keep memories alive. They remind us of people or events. Memorial Day honors the memory of the men and women who lost their lives while serving our country. In the American Revolution, 4,435 gave their lives. In the War of 1812, 2,260. In the Indian Wars, which was from about 1817 all the way through 1898, 1,000. In the Mexican War, 1846 to 1848, 1,733. In the War between the States in 1861 to 1865, 214,938. The Spanish-American War of 1898 to 1902, 385. In World War I, which was 1917 to 1918, 53,402 Americans gave their lives. In World War II, 1940 to 1945, 291,557. In the Korean War, sometimes called the Forgotten War, which went from 1950 to 1953, 33,686. The Vietnam War, 1964 to 1975, 47,410. In the Gulf War of 1991, 147. In the war that we are conducting today, which has been going on since 2001, some thousands of men have given their lives. Over 650,000. Really, I've read about 1 million have given their lives. Memorial Day is a special day because it is a day for remembering. Does that mean we should not remember or exercise our memory at other times of the year? Is this the only time we should do this? Do we give thanks only on Thanksgiving Day? No. Every time you fill out a form asking your date of birth, you're forced to remember. Every year, your anniversary comes up, and men, you're forced to remember. So are you, ladies. And if you're a Christian, every day you live your Christian life, you should be reminded of your rebirth, regeneration. But there are times when it is especially important to keep our memories alive at various stages, perhaps throughout our lives. And those various stages are listed here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. There are times of difficulty. In other words, times when you're going through something that is a hardship, when you know what, it's good for you to remember. There's also times of anticipation where something's coming up and you're anticipating something when you know what, it's good for you to look back and remember. And then there's those times of prosperity when things are really going well and it's hard to want to remember, but it's during those times, that stage, where we should also remember. Those three stages, in times of difficulty, anticipation, and prosperity, all three are right here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when God is exhorting the children of Israel about remembering, memorial. Let's look at those three stages. When we should exercise our memories, important times of remembrance. Let's look, first of all, at the fact that we should look back and remember during times of difficulty. Verse 1 says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." So here's the times of difficulty. In fact, go to verses 15 and 16. "Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end." So here's these times of difficulties. Here's, you know, the fiery serpents. You know, there's these poisonous snakes that they encountered. Here's where there was drought that took place. There's scorpions. And do you remember the times of difficulty in your life? How many times people can go back and recall the Great Depression? During times of difficulty, and note what it says in verse 2, "Thou shalt remember." So there's a command. That implies there's some effort on your part. Remembering takes effort. I appreciate the effort that was put forth for the decorations that you see by Kathy Hergert. Out here in the back, right in front of me, out in the front. Effort. What? To make us remember. Effort is required if you're going to remember. It implies that there is effort that takes place. What should you do in the times of difficulty? In the times of difficulty, you should recall the way. That's what it says. Thou shalt remember all the way. Three things about this. First of all, remember who led you into it. Know what it says there in verse 2. Who led them into this difficulty, folks? God did. So remember who led you into it. It was for the purpose of humility. And I don't like it because my way seems much better. If it were my choice, I would not go through times of difficulty. I would rather avoid the difficulty. I would rather go the way that I want to go, but there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. God led them into this way, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. I may not understand, but I must accept his way, because my ways are not his ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, God says. So I need to remember who led me into it. Secondly, who led me through it. You see, this is in verses 3 and 4, how that God provided manna. In verses 15 and 16, what God did for them as they were going through these times of difficulty. This is for the process. This is a process of learning. That we might learn the lesson. What's the lesson that needs to be learned according to what you see in verses 3 and 4? Look at the last part of verse 3. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's why we go through times of difficulty, that we might learn the importance of God's word. Thirdly, that we might learn who led us out of it, out of the difficulty. Because it is a process of discipline, something that is to be known, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. As we read in Proverbs 3:12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Discipline was for the purpose of leading out of error and into truth. And during these times of difficulty, it is no fun. And during those times of difficulty that the children of Israel were in the wilderness, it was not fun. I mean, I can take camping for about a week. And by that time, I'm ready to go home and take a shower and get cleaned up. Try 40 years. You know what? No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The actual experience is not so pleasant, but now we can look back on it as an important time in our life. And as I go back and look at just as an example, the years in the elementary school, we can say, remember the time when? Remember when? By the way, that's a phrase that we use a lot at family reunions and class reunions when we get together with old friends. Remember when? And what are some of the times that you remember the most? Is it not the times of difficulty that God led you through? He led you into it. He led you through it. He led you out of it. The times of difficulty are when we are in the valley, and it's important to remember His way in the times of difficulty. But then there's that second time. It's the times of anticipation that we see in verses 6 through 9. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and to fear Him, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Wow, this is a time of anticipation. We are looking forward to what is going to take place. We are looking forward to where we're going to move. This is what takes place at graduation. This is what happens for weddings, when you have a new job, when a child is born. It's anticipation. It's looking to the future with hope and with anticipation. Well, when that happens, what should you do? Remember. Go back and remember. What are we to remember in times of anticipation? Well, in times of difficulty, we are to remember His way. In times of anticipation, we are to remember His word. It says in verse 6, again, thou shalt keep the commandments. That's what He says right before He goes into saying, now here's what you're going to anticipate. But you remember God's commandments. You remember His word. This will be the next stage the children of Israel find themselves in, because the actual stage that they are in as this passage is being written is that they are in the wilderness and they are anticipating getting into that land that flows with milk and with honey. What should you remember to do in the times of anticipation? Keep His word. The word that we learned was so important during the times of difficulty. Verse 3. That man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. During times of anticipation, it is important that we remember His word. We must keep it. Why? Because keeping His word keeps us walking in His ways. Do you see that in verse 6? Keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways. The ways that we know by experience can be difficult. The great blessings are about to come. Go back to chapter 5 and verse 29. I want you to notice a pattern here about keeping the word of God and why God wants us to do that. 5:29, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might, what, be well with them. Go back to chapter 4 and look at verse 40. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day. Why? That it might go well with thee. Chapter 5, verse 16. Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee thence through a mighty hand by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may prolong, that it might be. What's the pattern here, folks? That it might be well with you, that it might be well with you, that it might be well with you. Chapter 6 and verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it might be well with thee. Same chapter, verse 18. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it might be well with thee. You'll find the same thing in chapter 12 and verse 28. Why do we keep the word of God? Because God has commanded us. But what is the result when you keep the word of God? That it might be well with you. This is good not only for individuals, it is good for families, it is good for nations, that they might keep the word of God, that it might be well with you. I firmly believe that the difficulties we face in our own lives and in our nation are because we are not keeping the word of God. The promise is this: when I keep his commandments, it will be well with me. That doesn't mean I'm not going to have times of difficulty, but overall, it will be well. It's easy to forget the times of difficulty and the processes of humility, learning, and discipline. When we are in times of anticipation, because we're climbing the mountain, the valley's down below us, we no longer see those threats, and we're, boy, looking forward to getting to the top. And it's easy for people who haven't been here through times of difficulty and some of the battles to appreciate the lessons that we've learned. It's easy today for young people to mock and scorn and belittle those who have gone before, our forefathers, I'm talking about in fundamentalism, and mock them for the stands they took. And belittle them, rather than appreciate the battles that they had to fight against modernism, against new evangelicalism. But we get so excited about the future that we don't remember the way. So during times of anticipation, what are we to remember? His word. Let's go back to the first one. During times of difficulty, we are to remember his way. During times of anticipation, we are to remember his word. Now we come to the third one, found in verses 10 to 14. During times of prosperity. What are we to remember during times of prosperity? Well, let's read verses 10 through 14. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I think that the thing that we tend to forget during times of prosperity is his work. That God did it. And that what I have today did not come as a result of my own hand, but it came as a result of what God has given me. His work. And it says there, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. Don't forget him. What should you do? Or what should you remember to do in times of prosperity? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, America, bless God. Very often you're going to see on the bumper sticker, God bless America. Why should he? How much does America bless God? How thankful is America to God? When do we bless God? When do we thank him? When do we praise him? When do we glorify him? Thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. The psalmist says this, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I muse. I think. I meditate on the works of thy hands. Muse. We don't even know the word muse today. We know the word that is the opposite, which is amuse. But I muse on the work of thy hands. I think about what God has done. How often do we sit back and muse and think about what God has done for us? How difficult is it today for you to sit without a book, without anything, and to sit and simply muse on the work of God's hands? You know, we can't do that today. We've got to be doing something. We've got to be going from here to there. We've got to be running about. We've got to have some kind of a video game in front of us. We've got to have the TV going. We've got to have that radio on. We've got to be running about. How rare it is for people to stop and to think and to muse. In times of prosperity, we're out of the valley. We're not even climbing the mountain. We're on the mountaintop. Hey, who got you there? Who provided the way for you? One of the most dangerous times in a believer's life, one of the most dangerous times in the life of a nation, one of the most dangerous times is during the time of prosperity. Oh, you mean it's not during times of difficulty? No. It's not during times of anticipation? No. It's when you have it. Because that's when we tend to forget. And that's why you see in verse 11, you beware that you don't forget. When you have all these things, you beware that you don't forget. Never underestimate the perilous power of prosperity. You know what? You may have everything together. You may have all your bills paid. And you may drive the nicest car. And you may have the most comfortable situation. That is the most dangerous time in your life. Because you tend to forget how you got there. More specifically, who got you there? Thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. Prosperity is the biggest hindrance to remembrance. Prosperity is good, but it can also be dangerous. It's important to walk with God in the times of blessing. If we do not acknowledge the right person for our blessings, we are rewriting history. I hate it when people revise history. I hate it when they say, here's what happened. And you go, that didn't happen. That's a lie. It's the same thing when you fail to remember that God is the one who brought you to the place where you are. You are a history revisionist. It's during those times of difficulty that we pray hard. Then when times improve, we tend to pat ourselves on the back for getting through those difficult times. Notice the warning in verses 17 and 18. When the times of prosperity come, and thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. The intentions of the founders of America was that during times of difficulty, when they were going through those times of difficulty, is that we would remember how we got to the place where we are today. But today, in prosperity, our leaders have forgotten the humility, they have forgotten the lessons, they have forgotten the discipline during the times of difficulty. There's an epitaph for an unknown soldier that reads this way. To save your world, you asked this man to die. With this man, could he see you now? Ask why. Where are you this morning spiritually? Is this a time of difficulty? May the Lord's brought you to this point to show you your need of dependence upon him. Perhaps you need to be saved this morning. Perhaps you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to remember his way. But maybe it's also a time of anticipation where, you know what? Maybe as a believer you're starting to grow and you're excited. You know what? Make sure you grow in his word. Or perhaps for you, it's a time of prosperity spiritually. You're walking with the Lord. You feel like you're on the mountaintop. You feel like everything is just right. Remember his work. Beware that you do not forget the Lord and your heart becomes lifted up. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So we should always exercise our memories. There is no good time to forget. Honest memories keep everything in perspective. Note the warning as we close in verses 19 and 20. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Folks, this warning stands just as true today in 2011 for the United States of America as it did on that day to the nation of Israel as they were wandering in the wilderness. I testify against you that you will surely perish if you forget the Lord your God and you start walking after other gods. You will perish. Because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. What we need today in our land is not a Republican or a true blue conservative. What we need is repentance and revival. What we need is for people, starting right here in our own church and in our own hearts and in our own lives, to start remembering what God has done for us. To remember the times of difficulty, to remember the times of anticipation, and to remember even in times of prosperity, to bless the Lord. So as we remember today, as we look back today and tomorrow, as we look back at the sacrifices men and women have made so that we might have freedom, I trust that we will remember. Remember, remembering is an act of the will. It's a choice I make. It takes effort. But you beware lest you forget. More than anything, may we never forget what God has done for us. Your Creator, He made you. We spurned Him. And all we like sheep have gone astray and we're going our own way. Then He sent His only begotten Son to die for us on the cross, that our sins might be remitted. And yet there are those who spurn that. And they present their own goods and say, well, this is good enough. I live a good life. And they try to present what they do before God. And you forget what Christ has done for you. May we never forget. Lord,